Hi, everyone. I'm Craig Orndorff. Welcome to Seems Like Old Times, the show where we listen to the memories. Greetings, friends. So good to be with you once again as we get ready for another edition of the show that features some of the greatest music of all time. And happy Independence Day weekend. And that's our musical theme today, as we do every year. We're dropping our regular format and going all patriotic. Of course, we'll have many of your favorite flag wavers, and maybe some that you'll add to the list. So we're all decked out in our red, white, and blue, and ready to celebrate the 4th of July on Seems Like Old Times.
Seems like old times, being here with you, being here with you, being here with you.
And we're off and running on today's Seems Like Old Times. And we begin the celebration of our independence with the Robert Shaw Chorale.
Thank you.
The Robert Shaw Chorale with America, My Country Tis of Thee, a song written in 1831 by Samuel Francis Smith to the melody of the British National Anthem. And the song became our de facto national anthem before the adoption of the Star-Spangled Banner. Wartime always produces a lot of patriotic numbers, and here's one from the World War II era. It's a V-disc from Mildred Bailey.
Which of the great 48 do you hail from? Could it be Louisiana? Or maybe you're from Indiana? Which of the great 48 do you love best? Do you go for Minnesota? Or is it North or South Dakota? If you're from Virginia, New York, or New Jersey, away out Texas way, from the top of Maine to the Golden Gate, it's heaven in the USA. Which of the great 48 do you hail from? Makes no difference which one, long as you hail from one of the great 48. Do you like Mississippi by the river's mouth? Have you seen Alabama in the dear old South? If you think it's lucky to hail from Kentucky, listen to me, you ought to see Tennessee, Colorado, Nevada, and New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, out in Idaho. You'll see lots of scenery if you go for scenery. They say it's best in the states out west. Georgia, it's peaches, so the people say. It's nice in Rhode Island, up New England way. If Vermont can't win ya, you like West Virginia. Then down the line is North and South Carolina. Pennsylvania's bound to have an appeal for you. Take a look out in Iowa and Kansas, too. Tell me, did I ask you, have you seen Nebraska, Montana, Utah, or Arkansas? New Hampshire or Maryland's your favorite state, or Missouri's your favorite of the great 48. Out in Arizona or out in Oklahoma, no matter where, you'll find there's happiness there. Wisconsin, Michigan have what it takes, like the rest of the states around the great five lakes. Don't you love Ohio and some people I know? Illinois is a state of joy. Choose Massachusetts over Delaware. Others like Florida because it's sunny there. That's the situation throughout all the nations. That's cause it's grand in every state in the land. California, Connecticut, or Wyoming, north or south, east or west, wherever you're roaming, it was made to order from border to border. It's paradise, only it's twice as nice. Which of the great 48 do you hail from? Makes no difference which one, long as you hail from one of the great
's in the Navy, father's buying saving bonds and stamps, mother's knitting sweaters, sister's writing letters and sending cigarettes to all the camps. In every city, town and tank, and on the lips of every Yank, the word is fight, unite and fight. 130 million standing ready day and night. For the flag, for the home, for the family, for the parchment that Hancock signed, for the end of the enemy, Mr. Yankee Doodle's absolutely made up his mind.
Tell the world
that the feather's in his hat. Tell the world that the Yankees are at bat.
For the flag, for the home, for the family, for the future of all mankind.
A couple of World War II morale boosters, the Johnny Long Orchestra from 1942, featuring Bob Houston's vocals for the flag, for the home, for the family. And 2 years later, it was Mildred Bailey, Where in the Great 48. We're celebrating Independence Day on this Seems Like Old Times. It was July 2nd, 250 years ago, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence that had been proposed by Richard Henry Lee of Virginia. Congress then drafted the Declaration of Independence, a document explaining their actions, authored by Thomas Jefferson. After debate and revision, the document was approved July 4, 1776, and thus the founding of the United States of America. Now in 1961, funny man Stan Freberg presented his own take on that historic moment.
The trouble continued to brew. It was a time for action and a time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, you in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
What has that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing that came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't
you? Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here I've been circulating around the neighborhood. Uh-huh. Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but... We've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams, you know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals, professional liberals, don't kid me. Andrew.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment or Rooney, try and find him.
Hey, what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right, all right. Let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness...
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
No, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well, I...
You write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in,
oh,
huh?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now. And, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by, did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it, and he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties, sign a harmless petition, forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The un-British Activities Committee, that's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to ray.
Banner to ray.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave new land, who wants to live, so concerned, but if I don't diss, he don't disagree,
agree,
but a man can't be too careful what he signs these days.
If I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Yeah, here you are.
Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another 3 or 4 guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
Stan Freberg, The Declaration of Independence, from his 1961 album, The United States of America. It's a 4th of July celebration on Seems Like Old Times. Happy 4th of July from Seems Like Old Times. In 1940, Bing Crosby recorded the patriotic cantata, Ballad for Americans. Back then, it took up 4 sides on 2 discs. But nowadays, we can listen to it in its entirety without having to stop and flip the record over.
76, the sky was red, thunder rumbling overhead. Bad King George couldn't sleep in his bed, and on that stormy morn, old Uncle Sam was born.
Son's birthday!
Old Sam put on a 3-cornered hat, and in a Richmond church he sat, and Patrick Henry told him that, while America drew breath, it was liberty or death.
Mm-hmm. What kind of hat is a 3-cornered hat?
Did they all believe in liberty in those days?
Nobody who was anybody believed it. And everybody who was anybody, they doubted it.
Nobody had faith. Nobody. Nobody but Washington. Tom Paine, Benjamin Franklin, Chaim Solomon, Crispus Attucks, Lafayette, nobodies.
The nobodies ran a tea party at Boston.
Betsy Ross organized a sewing circle.
Yeah, and Paul Revere had a horse race.
And a little ragged group believed it. And some gentlemen and ladies believed it. And some wise men and some fools. And I believed it too. And you know who I am.
No, who are you, mister?
Yeah, how come all this?
Well, I tell you, it's like this.
No, let us tell you.
Mr. Tom Jefferson, a mighty fine man, he wrote it down in a mighty fine plan, and the rest all signed it with a mighty fine hand, as they crossed their T's and dotted their I's. A brand new country did arise.
And a mighty fine idea.
Adopted unanimously in Congress July 4th, 1776.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights,
that among these rights are life.
Yes, sir.
Liberty.
That's right.
And the pursuit of happiness.
Is that what they said?
The very words.
That does sound mighty fine.
Building a nation is awful tough. The people found the going rough. And 13 states weren't large enough. So they started to expand into the western land.
Still nobody who was anybody believed it. And everybody who was anybody, they stayed at home. But Lewis and Clark and the pioneers, driven by hunger, haunted by fears, the Klondike miners and the 49ers, some wanted freedom and some wanted riches. Some liked to loaf while others dug ditches. And I believed it too, and you know who I am.
No, who are you anyway, mister?
Well, you see, it's like this. I started to tell you that I represent... Oh, yes, that's it.
Let my people go.
That's the idea.
Old Abe Lincoln was thin and long. His heart was high and his faith was strong. But he hated oppression, he hated wrong. And he went down to his grave to free the slave.
And we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That government of the people, by the people and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Abraham Lincoln said that on November 19th, 1863 at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
And he was right. I believe that too.
Say... We still don't know who you are, mister.
Well, I started to tell you. There it is.
The machine age came with an awful roar, and America grew in peace and war. And a million wheels went around and round. The cities reached up to the sky and dug down deep into the ground. And some got rich and some got poor.
But the people carried through.
Our country grew.
Still nobody who was anybody believed it. everybody who was anybody, they doubted it. And they are doubting still, and I guess they always will. But who cares what they say when I am on my way?
Say, will you please tell us who you are?
What's your name, buddy?
Where are you going?
Who are you?
Well, I'm the everybody who's nobody. And I'm the nobody who's everybody.
Yeah, well, what's your racket, friend?
What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm an engineer, musician, street cleaner, carpenter, teacher.
How about a farmer?
Also.
Office clerk?
Yes, ma'am.
Mechanic?
That's right.
Housewife?
Certainly.
Factory worker?
You said it.
Stenographer?
Yes, ma'am.
Beauty specialist?
Absolutely.
Bartender?
Positively.
Truck driver?
Definitely.
Miner?
Seamstress?
Ditch digger?
All of them I am. The et ceteras and the and so forth that do the work.
Now, hold on here. What are you trying to give us?
Are you an American?
Am I an American? I'm just an Irish, Negro, Jewish, Italian, French, and English, Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Polish, Scotch, Hungarian, Litvak, Swedish, Finnish, Canadian, Greek, and Turk, and Czech, and double-check American. And that ain't all. I was baptized Baptist, Methodist, Congregationalist, Lutheran, Atheist, Roman, Catholic, Orthodox, Jewish, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, Quaker, Christian Scientist, and lots more.
You sure are something.
Our country's strong,
our country's young,
and their greatest songs are still unsung. From our plains and mountains we have sprung to keep the faith with those who went before.
We nobodies who are anybody, believe it. We anybodies who are everybody, have no doubts. Out of the cheating, out of the shouting, out of the murders and lynching,
out of the windbags, the patriotic spouting, out of uncertainty and doubting, out of the carpetbag and the brass platoon, it will come again. Our marching song will come again.
Simple as a hit tune, deep as our valleys, high as our mountains, strong as the people who made it.
For I have always believed it, and I believe it now, and you know who I am.
Who are you?
America.
Ballad for Americans, composed by John Latouche and Earl Robinson. It was originally titled The Ballad for Uncle Sam for a theater project called Sing for Your Supper. The piece then was presented on the radio show The Pursuit of Happiness on November 5, 1939, sung by Paul Robeson. He made a commercial recording the following May, and then on July 6, Bing Crosby recorded it for Decca, accompanied by the John Scott Trotter Orchestra and the Ken Darby Singers. It's a happy birthday USA party on Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times, and I'm Craig Orndorff, your host, for this Independence Day special. And for this segment, it's a salute to the men and women who keep this country free.
Hiya, fellas. This is Ethel Merman. I'm going to sing a song for V-Discs that I know all you GIs will really appreciate. It was written by Private Frank Lesser, and it's called Why Do They Call a Private a Private? Well, now let me tell you all about it, and please don't crowd. I know why they call a corporal a corporal, because he's got two stripes. And I know why they call a sergeant, because he always gripes. Yes, I know almost all the military types, but they call a private, when each night is a public event. The Pennsylvania station, that crossroads of the nation, has nothing on a regular army tent. They snore and snore and snore all night. They drop their shoes, they light the light. It's heck to have to smell a regiment. Have you been marching? Why do they call a private, when each night is a public event? Why do they call a private, when there's nothing more public on earth? Take military travel, it makes your nerves unravel. The army's really getting its money's worth. In any other walk of life, you'd think that you were man and wife, the way you've got to share a lower berth. Your feet are icy, oh, why do they call a private, when there's nothing more public on earth? Now why do they call a private, when his life is a public affair? 100 other rookies enjoy his mother's cookies and read his mail and borrow his underwear. And every time he's gotta go, a fella's gotta go, you know, with 7 other fellas sitting there. He's got my colliers. Why do they call him a private, when his life is a public affair? Why do they call a private, when he's only a public GI? They ought to call him Rover. He flies and flees all over. There's always lots of company for a guy. And if he ever gets a shower, he's got to wait on line an hour. It's murder if he's modest and he's shy. The joint is crowded. So why do they call a private, when he's only a public GI? Oh, why do they call a private, when his life is a public affair? The whole United Nations can hear his conversations and read his mail and borrow his underwear. And if he finds a local wench and puts her on a quiet bench, 3 other guys from Yank are waiting there to take the picture. Why do they call a private, when his life is a public affair? Go see the chaplain. His life is a public affair.
Private Mary Brown, she wore that uniform like a $1 million gown. How my heart would leap when she drove a Jeep with the one big stripe on her arm. And it seemed to me that a PFC stood for perfect feminine charm. First class private Mary Brown. Oh, how she smiled goodbye when they shipped me out of town. Let the big guns roar, let me win this war, 'cause I want to hurry right back to first class private Mary Brown, my wonderful wife.
First class private Mary Brown, I've got her army serial number written down. She was all GI, but when she marched by, I just had to look at her twice. And it struck me then that the ASM meant an angel specially nice.
First class private Mary Brown, could make the PX seem like the Ritz in New York town. Let the big guns roar, let me win this war, cause I want to hurry right back on the double to first class, Private Mary Brown, my wonderful black.
Let the big guns roar, let us win this war,
cause I want to hurry right back on the double to first class, Private
Mary
Brown, my wonderful whack.
A couple of songs about privates. Both from 1944, Perry Como with First Class Private Mary Brown, and Ethel Merman, Why Do They Call a Private a Private? A tune written by Frank Lesser and Peter Lind Hayes. To the Water Now and the Bob Crosby Orchestra.
We've got the will to fight for what we know is right, allegiance to a cause that's true. From California to the rugged, rocky coast of Maine, we're fighting sons of the Navy Blue. The ship of state sails on with battle flags unfurled. The stars and stripes come into view. We hold a beacon light of liberty for all the world. We're fighting sons of the Navy Blue. Beware, you pirates and buccaneers. We'll sail wherever we please. Take care, for Uncle Sam will never rest until he's won the freedom of the seas. But if it's war they want, we've got just what it takes to make democracy come through. We've got the ships, we've got the guns, we've got the courage too. We're fighting sons of the Navy Blue.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest, these are men America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Back at home, a young wife waits. Her green beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Berets.
From 1966, Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler and the Ballad of the Green Berets. And we heard the Bob Crosby Orchestra with the leader on the vocals and the Fighting Sons of the Navy Blue. It's a celebration of the USA on today's Seems Like Old Times. It's a red, white, and blue edition of Seems Like Old Times. Happy 4th of July to all of you from all of us here at the show. And here's some fun food facts about the Independence Day festivities. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council says that more than 150 million hot dogs will be eaten over the 4th of July. And if those franks are made from pork, the chances are they came from Iowa. Now, if you had beef hot dogs, or you're going to grill some burgers or steaks, the beef probably came from Texas. And if not there, either Nebraska or Kansas. And if you're barbecuing chicken, that likely came from the South. The top broiler-producing states are Georgia, Arkansas, North Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas. Now, for side dishes, the baked beans probably came from North Dakota. Now, the lettuce was most likely grown in California, the tomatoes too, or Florida. For the potato salad, chips, and fries, the spuds came from Idaho and Washington State. And the watermelon is most likely a product of Florida, California, Texas, Georgia, or Indiana. So good holiday dining to you this 4th of July, wherever you may be across the USA.
There are songs about Montana and New York and Indiana, but the song the nation patiently awaits is the song I now will bring you as I clear my throat and sing you a love song to the whole United States. I love you. District of Columbia, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Alabama, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Oklahoma, West Virginia, California, Georgia, Texas, Maine, Mississippi, Washington, South Carolina, Arkansas, North Carolina, Tennessee, Louisiana, Iowa, Nevada, Kansas, Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, New Mexico, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, and Montana, Nebraska,
Alaska,
Pennsylvania, Florida, Wisconsin, Utah, Maryland, Kentucky, Oregon, Rhode Island, Idaho, Hawaii, and Vermont, Virginia, Delaware, Wyoming, and Connecticut.
There's only one America, just one USA. There's only one America where freedom lines the way, from the Empire State to the Golden Gate, from the Alamo to Independence Hall. Bless the stripes, bless the stars of this country of ours. One America, America falls. There's only one America, just one USA. There's only one America where freedom lights the way, from the Empire State to the Golden Gate, from the Alamo Independence Hall. Bless the stripes, bless the stars of this country of ours. One America, America for all. One America.
The McGuire Sisters and the Dick Jacobs Orchestra from 1956, One America. And from 1964, we heard Alan Sherman and Holiday for States, all 50 put to the tune of Holiday for Strings. This next song came from a 1945 10-minute short film produced by Frank Ross and Mervyn LeRoy. It starred Frank Sinatra. He's teaching a group of young boys a lesson in tolerance in the house I live in.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America. I work in the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died, the howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out, that's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, the dream that's been a-growing for 150 years. The street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people. That's America to me.
That's Frank Sinatra with the Axel Stordahl Orchestra and the House I Live In. And we're all done with hour number one of the show, but more of our celebration of Independence Day coming up here on Seems Like Old Times.